We grab the sports world by the neck and swing it around like a cowboy's lasso. It's a heck of a thing, really. Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. 1 hour into books, three to go. We've got a lot going on here. This hour alone, I think we'll give away a $50 gift card from Amazon. We've got the Scheman and Shepard cash grab in about an hour for another chance to win $1,000. We will talk with Adam Schefter at 4 o'clock about all things NFL, including John Morrow's comments about Odell Beckham Jr. saying he should shut up and start performing on the field. I'm paraphrasing.
I'm paraphrasing,
trying to keep it pithy here while I move on, headline the show
pithy
here.
Also, I have one question.
Yes.
Where's Le'Veon at?
What?
Where's Le'Veon at?
I think it's Avion.
Yeah. Le'Veon is supposed to show up sometime between this week and next week. I don't know what that means. It is the bye week for the
but
Steelers.
Doesn't he has to show up by Tuesday of the week to get credit for that week of service,
that
right?
That's my understanding. Or can he show up right before the game? Well, he's got a sign.
No, he can't show up right before the game.
No.
That cannot happen.
Adam Schefter says Bell does not plan to report this week to the Steelers despite what he had previously said.
And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because it's...
Next target date for Bell, Monday, October 22nd, when the week work
free.
Week rolls over and the Steelers begin prep for week eight divisional matchup against the Browns.
Yes.
Yeah, because you don't think they're putting that prep work in already, do you?
No.
Some people say you may wait until after the trade deadline on Tuesday, October 30th. Doing so, again, would shut down any opportunity the Steelers have of trading him. They cannot do so until he signs the franchise tender, as we're saying time and time again.
Again, he needs 6 weeks.
He's busting chops big time, baby.
Right? He needs 6 weeks to get credit for the season.
The saying was, it had to be before week 10, but the Steelers can suspend him for whatever reason they want for up to 2 weeks. So
he's got to report the 22nd because that's week 8.
Yes. Yeah.
If he waits to week 9.
They could suspend him and he doesn't get credit for the year. And he's still, he's not an unrestricted free agent at the end and he can't go anywhere. And the Steelers would own his rights next year.
If he reports week 9, they could suspend him for week 9 and week 10, put him on the commissioner's exempt list.
And he only gets 5 weeks of service.
So he's got to report, no, because it'll go to week 17, so he'll get 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
And some believe that he won't, again, won't, he'll wait until after the trade deadline, October 30th, Tuesday. Doing so would shut down any opportunity the Steelers have of trading him. They cannot do so until he signs a franchise tender.
I would put him on that commissioner's exempt list as soon as he is done signing his name on that offer sheet.
Well, here's another thing they could do. He could sign the offer sheet on the 22nd. Trade deadline's the 30th. So, again, they can't trade him until he signs, right? So once he signs, they could trade him, you know, to like the Eagles or something. It's going to be a very interesting.
And again, they're not going to. No team is going to make that deal with them unless they know that he's going to sign long term with them. Could be the Eagles. Could be somebody else.
And
but you know what I'm saying?
Do we think conversations are happening now?
Yeah,
because that's not something that's going to mysteriously come together in like 3 days next week. So is that tampering? I guess he's not under contract, or is he? I mean, he's not.
He's not, but his rights are still with the Steelers.
Okay, so that would technically, if people found out, it would be tampering. Even though we know that they're having conversations.
But tampering to speak with the agent? I don't believe it is.
No, but we talked about this a month ago, 2 months ago. If he does, if the trade is forced, it's going to be a handshake, nod, wink deal off the record, knowing full well that team's going to sign him to a long-term extension. Otherwise, it's not going to get done. There's no way, if they do trade him, he's not going to a team that he's not going to sign long-term with. No way.
You would think. But in this day and age, nothing surprises me anymore. All right,
he'd have to go to a contender, right?
I would think so.
Eagles need a running back.
Well, there's another team that just lost their running back today.
Yeah, the Falcons.
But they've got other running backs.
Got Tevin Coleman, who's not
Coleman's
the same
though.
Type.
No, Freeman wasn't doing squat, by the way, when he was healthy.
Injured.
Suck it up. Are you playing or not? If you're on the field, you play. You're good. Suck it up. Yeah, okay, so the Falcons would be another one.
And apart from
both
those,
the Falcons and the Eagles check the boxes, not in current conference.
Right, yeah.
So they make sense. Now, are the... Falcons mathematically eliminated.
Well, you know who else has their running back who's pretty injured?
Who?
Does Jacksonville think about making a trade?
Well, how long is this Leonard Fournette thing
going
to go on?
Thing.
They just signed what's-his-face?
Jamal Charles.
Jamal Charles, who I don't think has anything left.
Okay, but that's a minimum contract that you can cut, and it's not you're not on the hook for anything. I'm just trying to think. There needs to be a market to drive the price up. If there's three teams, is that enough to develop a market?
You know, what I think Jacksonville should do? You know what I really think they should do?
Get rid of
Blake. They should make a double move.
Take my trivia question away, my poll question. You're about to do it. Go ahead.
They should get the double move, get Le'Veon Bell at running back, and get one Eli Manning from the New York Giants and make a run.
I was just going to say, my poll question would be, what happens first? Eli gets traded or Le'Veon Bell actually signs with the Steelers?
Okay.
But that would be, oh, I love that scenario. And
great.
I still think there's a chance Eli's going to get traded. I don't care what the Giants say.
I do. I think he that's the only move out of
there. I mean, that is an absolute bleep show over there, what's going on. There's no doubt about it.
So, okay. So
the Texans have a terrible running game. Lamar Miller's awful. Yeah. I was just reading last night that Dante Foreman not expected to come back from his Achilles tear this week. He was eligible coming off the PUP list.
Same conference, though.
So that's not happening. I don't think there's much of a market there.
No. And too much risk. But I don't know. We'll see.
Everyone out west is bad except the Rams. They're not. They got a better running back.
They're okay at running back.
They're one of the few teams that could say, no, we're good.
Yeah, we're cool.
We got more talent.
What would? How about this? Ready for this?
Hit me.
Chris might flip over in his chair.
Oh, not the Patriots.
Patriots. No, not the Patriots. Nothing to do with it.
Chris and I both.
No.
Thank you.
What? What if Ryan Tannehill's injury is a little more severe than we think? They think he's going to be out a while.
Don't say it.
Would the Dolphins ever trade for Eli Manning?
No.
Not with Brocktober under the center. There's no way. You're all set. You're fine. It's like the Rams at running back. No, we're
seriousness.
Cool. We're good.
All
we got the Brockster.
Here's a team that goes to a team that's 4-2.
With maybe a worse offensive line than what they have in New York.
Yeah, an offensive line that didn't allow any sacks to Khalil Mack and company.
I got you.
All right, it's one game, but still. And he moves his head playing on one foot, but still.
How'd that offensive line look in the second half against Cincy?
Yeah, but it looked a lot better last week, a week later. That was the offensive line is bad, but Tannehill's decision-making was worse, I thought.
Keep Eli away from the state. Or at least away from anything south of I-4.
I was going to say, Jacksonville's fine. That's, as we say, Georgia.
Yeah, South Georgia.
South Georgia. Yeah.
If let me ask you this, Chris, Mr. Dolphin.
Yeah.
So if, if Ryan Tannehill couldn't go the rest of the year.
4-12.
If Ryan Tannehill wouldn't go the rest of the year, you would just be happy with Brock Osweiler. You don't want Eli Manning.
Because
you want to tank.
We did that whole let's go out and see if we can find a guy thing last year.
Just throwing it out there. I'm just saying. It's,
no,
it's
I would
outside the box.
I would be
bit.
Very upset if they went out and got Eli Manning.
So you're a Brock Osweiler fan then?
No.
Well, that's who you got.
Well, okay. I guess in a roundabout way, I am because
you'd rather have him than Eli
because I'd be a fan of losing.
Okay, but
who's your other quarterback?
Who would you rather have?
Is it
David Fales?
Yeah.
Who would you rather have starting if you knew Ryan Tannehill was done for the year? Not saying he is, but if he was, who would you rather have to start the rest of the season? Your 4-2 Dolphins, Brock Osweiler or Eli Manning?
Wildcat.
No, that's the, no.
Let's just run the Wildcat.
No, you guys did that a few years ago, and it worked
once.
For a day.
14 years ago.
Was it that 14. Long ago?
Yeah.
Good Lord, these years.
Was that 08?
08.
That was 08. So 10
years
ago.
These years are blending together quickly.
So you wouldn't do that. You would rather have Brock Osweiler than Eli Manning.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I think Eli Manning is hot garbage at this point in his career.
I wouldn't say garbage. I think he's pretty much. I think he's done.
I think he's better than Brock Osweiler.
I think he would be better than Brock Osweiler.
Know what? That was unfair to Eli. He's not hot.
He's cold garbage.
He's just garbage.
He's just lukewarm garbage. Like warm enough to have that stench to it.
So the flies are just starting to come out.
Right.
The maggots haven't really formed yet.
Exactly. They're still just in the larva stage.
All right.
Wow. Guys are rough.
Eli Manning, please. I do not want Eli Manning. I'd rather tank it and have Justin Herbert taking snaps next year for the Finns.
He's going to the Giants. That's why Eli's getting traded to the Dolphins.
Yeah. Or Drew Locke or
they
whoever.
Love him. The Giants love him. They sent scouting teams out there 4 straight weeks to Oregon to watch him
there
play.
There were 19 pro teams at the Washington-Oregon game. Yeah.
And we didn't have that game on our Pigskin Picks.
Shocking.
I would have done better. So say Eli does get traded to Jacksonville.
Yes.
Does he play right away?
No. How long do you think that takes? It takes at least 2 weeks to get used to.
I can't think Blake Bortles is running a intricate offense. Something that's going to take weeks and weeks.
He was pathetic last week.
I mean, because Eli, for being in the same spot, he's run a couple different offenses in his time in New York, right?
Yeah.
Several
coordinators and coaches, yeah.
So he's probably had a version of the Doug Marrone offense somewhere along the line, right?
Guy says, what about Eli to the Broncos? Let me tell you something. Case Keenum is stinking up the joint, but they are giving up. The Denver Broncos are giving up the last 4 weeks as many yards on the ground as most teams get through the air. It is pathetic. Mm. Absolutely pathetic what they're doing over there. Elway's calling them not just soft this time. This is very soft, according to Elway. Van Joseph definitely on the hot seat.
Elway's not allowed to make fun of this team because he put it together. This is Elway's work.
That is a Broncos fan, to watch everybody just run through you like a sieve. It's unreal.
Take away Von Miller. What do you have on that team?
Shane Ray.
It's Chubb.
Yeah.
But it's
He's going to get more snaps.
Right.
That's
what you say when you're 6 weeks in and you're losing. Yeah, we got to really get that guy the ball more.
That team, I mean, they started off 2-0 in the last four games. Look at the rushing numbers against them. It is pathetic. I've never seen anything like it. Mm. In my life, I've never seen a team give up all those 200-yard gains to these teams. It is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Record-breaking.
Yeah. Eli here at 239. Eli would make a good backup for Dak. Cowboys can protect him. You know, Eli does have his best games in Dallas.
No way.
Just saying.
He's not staying in the division.
I know. It's a joke. All right. Hey, so back to Odell Beckham for just a moment. You pondered a question going into the break at the top when we talked about John Mara.
Yeah, will he respond negatively?
A guy that just gave him $90 million guaranteed, and now he's got to be ticked off because I just paid this guy like a leader, and now he's doing stupid things off the field. Says, let's make some headlines on the field and not off the field. Will Odell Beckham Jr. retaliate, say something stupid? Will he answer? Will he buckle down and start scoring touchdowns?
He's going to say something. He can't help himself. He is going to say something. Like asking Antonio. I mean, maybe he's not as bad as Antonio Brown, but he's damn close.
I would think the heady play here is just shut up and score two touchdowns on Sunday.
You're thinking logically again. You're not thinking
like a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Is okay, but then there'll be people that say that this is what makes him great, his outwardness.
No, it'll be he's being competitive.
Yeah, he's a competitor. He just wants to win, Pete
Shepard.
He just wants to win, and they're 1-5.
I get that.
What?
Just wanting to win.
Yeah,
You
don't have to be a scorched earth policy and a train wreck behind the scenes in addition to that.
No, yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Now, come up with the line. I'm looking for some NFL line. It's a Detroit-Miami game is still not on the board.
Again, they won't put it up until there's clarity at the quarterback spot.
I know.
But it might not be clear. That may be a game-time decision.
Well, that's when they'll put it up.
That's why you and I need to go to that game so we can see as early as possible.
I'm good. I'll be nursing a pretty gnarly hangover at that point.
A hangover?
Oh, it's your birthday. It's your birthday this weekend.
Yeah. Well, Monday's my birthday.
So celebrate early?
You're starting tonight.
No, Saturday. Well, Friday night.
No, you start tonight.
Your Tuesday's the
your
new Friday.
Your hump day is 4 o'clock on Tuesday. That's page one of the CRISP policy handbook.
Touche.
Yeah.
Great point.
Let
so
it
what
roll.
Do you get for your birthday?
Wants to go golfing.
I want to go golfing.
He told the wife, I just want to go golfing. That's it. She says, all right.
I want to go golfing.
Did you get the approval?
Having some friends come over. We're going to drink and watch football.
Now, is this a Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. So I'll be hungover Sunday, not watching the Dolphins.
That's probably a heady play on your part because you're useless to your wife on Saturday, and then you could play the hangover card on Sunday and be useless Sunday as well.
And it's my birthday on Monday.
And that's your birthday Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Couple of stats. NFL ratings strong Sunday. Chiefs-Patriots tying the highest Week 6 Sunday Night Football overnight on record. And the Fox singleheader hitting an 8-year high. Cowboys lone dud, sinking CBS national window to a new low.
Well, that's because that game was such
a joke. Yeah, it was.
Blowout.
It was. But the Alabama, believe it or not, can become, pretty sure I saw the stat last night or this morning. Alabama can be from, think about this, the first team in SEC history with what? What do you think, Chris? It's a good thing. I mean, it's just, I can't believe it's never been done before. But
no losses for
first SEC to go, I don't know, 4 years without losing to an unranked team?
To have 50 touchdown passes in a season.
50?
No one's ever done it
in the
SEC.
Is Tua on pace for 50?
If he gets 3.9 per game the rest of the season, he will get 50.
Well,
and that's playing three quarters a game.
Yeah, it just depends if they let him play four quarters.
Yeah.
Remember, they got that Citadel game hanging out there that really could mess up his Heisman candidacy.
Well, he could get his four touchdowns in the first quarter.
Heisman right now? Is there a guy where we can say, oh, clear cut, runaway?
Yes.
Him.
It's Tua.
But he doesn't play in games.
It doesn't matter.
What are
the highlights? All the highlights are going to be showing are first quarter touchdown passes.
It doesn't matter. We are going if he doesn't screw it up, it's a slam dunk. I mean, his name's already on the trophy as far as I'm concerned. There is nobody else.
And there's Haskins, who's having a great year with Ohio State.
Not happening.
Yeah, Herbert and Oregon, that's it.
Not happening. Will Greer's throwing too many interceptions. I got to look at his numbers.
Initially,
he was terrible last weekend, too.
He's
couple
out.
Of running backs, the kid at Stanford who's been hurt. And then you got,
Bryce Love's numbers are not good enough.
And Dylan got hurt from Boston College. He was up there. He might still make a run at it at the end. He's got incredible numbers, but there's no way. Right now, he is head and shoulders.
Doesn't play in the second half of games.
It doesn't matter. But
and Jalen Hurts comes in last week, and he goes seven of eight for a couple, or for at least one touchdown.
Well, they're both system quarterbacks.
Right. It's the system.
So here's what you – really, if you're an Alabama fan this week, you want Tennessee to give him a game, don't you? Wouldn't you like to see that from a character standpoint? On the road, that place should be going – there should be 103,000-plus people – in Knoxville going out of their freaking minds.
Honestly, and I'm not saying this to be funny, the thought had never crossed my mind.
Okay, but here's the thing. I want to see Tua play into the fourth quarter.
And so do I.
He probably will at LSU.
So do I.
They're playing at Tennessee and at LSU the next 2 weeks. And then home against a decent Mississippi State team before they, I heard somebody this week. Who was it? That said he wouldn't even play Tua against Tennessee this week. He would rest him.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Was
Peter Burns.
Oh, was it Peter? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of right
on this show.
I'm kind of right there with him.
Yeah.
Until when, though? Until all of a sudden?
Well, you get a bye week this week.
Except if Jalen ever came in and all, what if the unthinkable happened? They rest him. Oh, of course he dressed.
And it goes the other way.
He could always come in and save the day, right? What if they're down to Tennessee?
We've seen that act before.
No, I know.
Yeah. We spotted Georgia 13 points. Yeah. Well, we could spot Tennessee 24 points at the half.
You would think, but
he'll be fine.
I just want
Jared Guarantana is not going to beat Alabama.
Do you not think though, deep down, Nick Saban wants to see this team tested before LSU?
I do. I don't know where it's going to.
Well, I think they'll be semi-tested for a half against Tennessee.
Really?
Okay. Semi-tested. That means they'll be up by 14 instead of 24.
Okay.
And I would be shocked if they're only up by 14 at the half. Syria, I think that they're a lot better than a touchdown a quarter better than Tennessee.
I think they, in the end, they could very well win by 40. I'm just saying, initially, in that atmosphere, I'm just hoping
that orange
that the Volunteers give them a game. Pruitt's going to, remember, he's going to know in Alabama inside and out. He knows their tendencies.
Yeah,
he knows their tendencies. We see or hear about this all the time. And maybe there is a I triggered Siri.
Oh, no.
What? Breaking news?
No.
Breaking news?
Oh, he just triggered Siri.
No, that's all right.
It's not breaking news. That happens every minute.
I mean,
I just want to I would like to see a competitive game at 3:30 with them on. I think it's good because I love.
Like the closest game they had at half was against A&M, and that was 31-13 at halftime.
Yeah,
it's kind of boring.
Yeah, but that was home.
It's kind of boring.
That was
Chris.
Home. This is on the road, right? It's gonna be 103,000 people there, right?
Yes,
103,000.
Okay,
the only
two road games that they've played this year have been Ole Miss and Arkansas, the two worst teams in the SEC West. Yeah. And they beat Ole Miss 62-7. Spotted them 7.
Wow.
Then scored 62 unanswered. And then Arkansas, they put up 65.
You got Tennessee coming off their biggest win in 2 years. All right, against an Auburn team that isn't very good so far, that we think is not very good. But
Tennessee's up.
And then you know, and then they're going into the most hostile environment.
Tennessee just got their first SEC win in 11 tries.
I know.
So they're feeling pretty good about themselves right
that's
now.
That's what I mean.
They're pumping their chest. They got the big boys coming in. It's a home game in front of all the 103,000 orange-wearing chuck wagon fans.
Have you seen the line?
No. Is it 35? It's 21.
You're close.
It's 40.
It's 29 and a half.
29 and a half. Vegas is never wrong.
That game may go on the board. I might take the
points.
No,
we're not putting a 30-point game on the board.
Why? They cover all the time. Not last week. They didn't cover last week, did they?
No, they did not.
Against Missouri. They only won by 29.
No, Alabama did cover.
Oh, so
it was 28 and a half, and they won by 29.
The week before, they did not cover.
Yeah, he was livid. Nick was livid. They didn't cover the spread.
That's right.
Well, it was ridiculous. You allowed 35 points by Arkansas.
Well, 31.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. 31.
Seriously.
Your team's not very focused right now. They were obviously looking ahead to Tennessee.
I'm right there with you.
I'm taking Tennessee on the money line.
Can I play on your private golf course?
Wouldn't that be something, though? But look, I mean, this is do we agree, right? You agree, Chris. This is the toughest 2 weeks of their schedule by far. It's at Tennessee and at LSU. Now, I don't expect an Alabama team to look past anybody. I don't expect that, but it does happen, Chris. It does happen. Ohio State's been doing it all year. Notre Dame's been doing it all year, too. They've just been winning. But they have played down to every single opponent's level. Now, Alabama hasn't done that. Now, if you want to call playing down to Arkansas's level, only winning by 34 and giving up 31, so be it. But when you score 65, I don't think it's kind of, I mean, did they get a little lax on defense? Yeah, maybe. Towards the end, but I don't think Alabama has played down to the competition's level by any stretch, like Ohio State and Notre Dame have. It's not even close.
Alabama is scoring 53.6 points per game.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
their third stringers on the field for a quarter. I know the third string quarterback's name for Alabama. Never have I known the third string quarterback's name for Alabama. I didn't even know there was a third string quarterback. It's Mac.
You just put yourself on the
Wilson.
Spot. Mac Wilson.
Yeah.
Mac Wilson.
They played when A&M was ranked 22nd. They won by 22. They only won by three touchdowns.
They didn't cover.
They didn't cover in that game. The rest of it out there, there's nothing there to really – I mean, I like Missouri. I like Drew Locke, but they only put
4
up
and
10
3
points.
Against the spread.
I think I was stunned more than anything else. Missouri could only put up 10. Now that's what I mean. That's without it. That's the best quarterback they faced all year.
They went for it a couple times on fourth down late in that game where they could have gotten a field goal to make it look better. But
do you not agree, Drew Locke? I mean, Locke's the best quarterback they faced by a long shot.
Very long shot.
So
is it boring being an Alabama fan?
No, it's not boring.
No, I'm asking the Alabama fan. Is it boring? I
mean, he loves it.
When you know you're going to win by, like, for example. Usually, I'm a little nervous watching Lions games because bad things happen. Now, I was very comfortable during the Patriots blowout. I mean, we whipped their behind. I
told you.
And my heart rate never moved. But that's what you're like every weekend. Your heart rate never flutters like, oh, my gosh. Like maybe it felt at halftime against Georgia in the national championship. You don't get that. You're up by 50 every week. That's got to be boring.
But even that game, the national championship last year.
You knew you were going to do it?
No. I had kind of come to grips that Alabama wasn't going to win that game at halftime.
And what's worse, you losing the game and being a fan if you were going to lose, or knowing you had to come here and face me and Pete being smart Alex?
That's always the worst part of it. In this business, that's always the worst part of it.
I have proven time and time again, I do not gloat about anything. I, on the other hand, deflect your gloatedness all the time.
Who gloats on you?
All the time. All the time.
Please.
Well, I'm a victim.
I don't know if you heard me a minute ago.
Victimized.
But the Lions did kick your ass 26-10. I don't know if you heard that part.
I told you they would. I just didn't pick them in the pit.
Yeah, you were just covering yourself.
I said in August they'd be 2-2 after four games. Mm-hmm. And I went against my.
As long as we're making fun
of you, to answer your question, yes, it gets a little boring.
But one of my bigger things, honestly. I bet you deep down, sort of, Nick Saban is saying, let it be a competitive, so I have to keep him in for four quarters because you're onto your toughest environment the week after at night against LSU. Right. It's going to be you got back to back madhouses you're playing.
Then
I wish
start,
the Tennessee
then
game
start
was at
Jalen,
night.
Then start Jalen up at Tennessee. Make it harder. Play with half a hand behind your back, so to speak. Rest Tua, and then he can be all ready to go for LSU.
No, you can't.
So last year, Jalen Hurts did start this game, and they beat Tennessee 45-7.
Yeah, but that's good. It's different now.
It's close.
It's a little different now.
Tennessee's got one SEC win as opposed to none?
But it's coming at the right
time. They're much better.
Alabama's Tennessee's catching Alabama at the right time. They're overconfident. They're cocky. They're just coming off their biggest SEC win in 2 years. They're at home, 103,000 screaming people. I wish that game was at night, not at 3:30.
9-4-1. I'm a Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame would struggle against Bama's backups. Hopefully Notre Dame can get the three so they don't have to get blown out right away.
Yeah.
Honestly, and I would say this if I weren't an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a team in college football that can keep a game within 10 points going into the fourth quarter. I don't.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Well,
I think
we'll
Ohio
see.
State has the potential to do it. I haven't seen them do it at the both sides of the ball
see,
at the same time.
I think Michigan would have a better chance of doing that to Alabama than Ohio State.
Michigan, Saturday night, yeah. Michigan, I think you're right, but I mean, listen, that was the first big win for Michigan in the Harbaugh era.
I'm saying if you had to tell me which defense could hold Alabama, what'd you say, 10 points and what? And
10 points going into the fourth quarter. Making a game going into the fourth.
I would pick Michigan over Ohio State
from
a defensive standpoint.
I won't argue with you on that.
But I'm wondering what Ed Orgeron's going to come up with. That's a tough LSU team.
Ed Orgeron.
I just think, you know, I'm hoping for competitiveness the next two games, at Tennessee and at LSU. The atmosphere when those two places are rocking is some of the best in college football.
You may get it during LSU.
That'll be a night game in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's
so that will be.
That game day's got to be there. There's no way they can't be. They have to be there.
LSU has Mississippi State this weekend before their bye, before hosting Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, we're way late as usual, so let me jump in here. We can continue this college football conversation. Also, I'm going to tell you what Mike Krzyzewski says about the state of college basketball that may have you scratching your head.
Sure, nothing's wrong, right? I haven't seen it.
I know. I'm going to spring it on
you. Okay.
That's all coming up. Stay
be
with
gentle.
Us. Got a $50 gift card from Amazon. We'll be giving away in just a little bit. The Sheeman & Shepherd cash grab for $1,000. Maybe you can win that at the top of the hour. And speaking of the top of the hour, we'll talk with Adam Schefter, our NFL insider from ESPN. All that coming up. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Sports. You love it. Love it. We love it. Love it. And quite frankly, I don't trust anyone who doesn't love it. Do you?
Is that a serious question?
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Don't forget to join us tonight at the Naples Fort Myers Greyhound Track, 7 o'clock, playing poker. You knock us out, you get a $100 bounty at the table. So we do that the third Tuesday every month. Frankly, kind of snuck up on me with the schedule. It's a little earlier this month. It's here. The next time we do it will be like days before Thanksgiving. I mean, the year is rolling on by. So we got that. We got Adam Schefter coming up next hour. Your chance to win some prizes, an Amazon $50 gift card, and a Sheeman & Shepherd cash grab at 4 o'clock. We'll give you the word coming up in just a little bit with all that.
But also got the Blades opening up this weekend. We got some four packs that we'll
give away today.
Nice at home. Yeah,
let's give some away. I got some four packs to Friday and Saturday night. So
all right, we'll do that.
We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour, I guess.
All right, we'll do that. Four pack Blades. That's pretty good. All right, very good. Before we move any further, Pete Shepherd, may I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
Okay.
How may I help you?
Well, I know, every once in a while, it's a four-hour show. It's the middle of the day. We keep ourselves fueled up. Maybe a snack or two, some drinks, some Mountain Dew, some caffeine, whatever.
Water.
May I ask what this feminine-looking pink power bar is you have
it's
over
not,
here?
I got them on sale at Publix. It's a peanut butter chocolate bar. It's got only 90 calories and 1 gram of sugar.
For ladies.
10 grams of protein.
Does it have estrogen in it or what?
If the package were blue, would that be okay?
Yes.
It would be more acceptable for more manly.
Absolutely.
Blue, silver,
the blue
black.
Had more sugar in it.
Gray.
So that's how you judge people
white.
Now? Is that what you are?
Yeah,
you
like Clif bars are generally for chicks, right?
So
I think we'd all agree with that. And I think this is a chick
small,
bar you're eating.
Clif bar's not for chicks.
10 grams of protein.
No, it's like
90
a protein.
Calories. What are you not? It's a protein bar that has 1 gram of sugar in it.
But it's in it's pink marketing. It's for ladies.
It's not for ladies.
Why does it say for her on it?
Does it really?
It says protein one by the makers of Fiber One.
Ooh, Fiber One. Now that's a good bar.
Now it's for old people and for ladies. It's for old ladies. You have an old lady power bar.
Didn't realize why my system was getting all messed up when I was down in Fiber One bars. Here to find out.
It shouldn't mess you up. And things should be flowing pretty good.
It just got me out of whack.
Oh, okay.
Where normally I was a once a dayer and it jumped up to 3 or 4. Unbelievable. I thought it was a chewy bar.
Too much information. A chewy bar.
They're delicious. They shouldn't make something that has that side effect so damn tasty. Right?
Sure.
All these protein bars and stuff, you got to look on the back for major sugar grams and major carbs. They may be low in calories, some of them, but they're high in, a lot of them are high in carbs and high in sugar grams. So, and just high, a small little
and high thing. In estrogen.
Very hurt by their take on my It's a nice little snack bar. What do you have?
Nothing.
Diet Mountain Dew?
Yeah, I've already downed it.
And a Krispy Kreme donut?
I did have that today against my will.
Yeah, with sprinkles, you woman.
No.
Was it pink?
No, it wasn't. It was glazed with a chocolate covering. It was like a double play.
Quality.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got to be honest, I didn't feel very good afterward. The sugar just boom. But, I mean, it's what you do. But I tell you what, victory for me. I only had one. I could down about three of those in a heartbeat. So
in a minute, what are you talking about?
I know. So I showed control today. So I'm good, and my energy's still up, as you can tell.
I don't know how you do this industry without coffee. Like those Diet Mountain Dews are so bad for you. They're terrible.
That's what my wife keeps telling me.
Like awful.
Like, I think there's an ingredient in the Diet Mountain Dew that is also, you can find it in your car fluid to keep your car engine cool, coolant.
Right.
I think there's a similar ingredient in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could do coffee, but I Mountain Dew's easier. I've done Mountain Dew for years. I tried to switch. I was doing another product called the Zip Fizz. We pour that in your, a lot of B12, a lot of, did that all summer long, but I was getting migraines like every week, and I found like that was the problem.
Cut
that out, migraines went away.
How about that? Unbelievable how that works.
Yeah. Now I'm just getting esophageal cancer with this Mountain Dew or whatever's going down.
But don't a lot of people tell you if you have a migraine that coffee or chocolate is, you should have that?
For some people, caffeine causes the migraine. Other people say caffeine will help the migraine. Mm-hmm. I have not found it to help.
Sleep helps a migraine. It's about it.
Shut her down.
It's about it.
Yep.
Man, I got them terrible when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like, had to miss a couple sporting events because the migraine was that terrible.
Wow.
Like, I lose my vision for a half hour.
Yeah.
And, now that's the more prominent part I get. I don't get so much of the pain afterward. But it used to be like
just the vision
shut
loss.
Down the, yeah.
Well, you can work through that.
Yeah, and I have. I've had them numerous times on this show. And you don't even know.
Don't have that problem.
Feel one coming on right now.
Do you know that Tua Tagovailoa has 21 touchdown passes? We all know that. He has no interceptions. But you know who has 21 touchdown passes and only 3 interceptions? Kyler Murray.
Hmm. Interesting. I was going to guess.
Last week, this is why Tua's in trouble this week against Tennessee.
In trouble?
Because he only completed 54.5% of his passes, even though he's still completing 71% of his passes along the way.
He did miss a few throws last week.
He was hurt.
He absolutely missed a few throws last week.
Well, he made a couple reads, and but it's – you know what the an unbelievable stat for him is that he has only like – oh, here it is. He only has 35 incompletions on the year. That's it. On the year.
We're going into week 8.
Yeah. On the year. And last week was, again, at 54.5% of his passes completed, was his worst day from that percentage-wise.
Wow.
Because he's completing 71% completion rate. 21 touchdowns and no picks.
I could do that if I only played.
Well, he's had a few
quarters.
100% games thrown in there.
Yeah,
like even Jalen Hurts had 7 of 8 last week. I'm telling you, it's a system quarterback.
Which he really has developed into a much better quarterback this year. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, maybe he needed to sit and watch.
I mean, he's no Tua.
No.
But
he's got no pro career.
There's going to be another program to get a hell of a quarterback next year.
But Tua's right knee, are you concerned at all?
Well, that's why I'd say, why play him against Tennessee?
Yeah, take that off. That's like a gimme.
It's not a gimme.
Come on.
Who's a bigger gimme, Citadel or Tennessee?
Oh,
Citadel.
Come on. That doesn't count.
Well, one's got a tie
football.
To the military.
It's fake football.
I was just kidding. All right.
Tennessee just doesn't impress me.
I'm just saying it's the first hostile environment really they're going to be playing in all year against a team that can't be any higher than it is right now as far as their biggest win of the year under the new coach who used to coach at Alabama. They'll be fired up. I'm just hoping they stay in it for a half. Stay in it for a half. Keep me interested.
All right, so you don't flip the channel. See what else is going on.
It's not going to happen.
No, I'm going to flip the channel anyway, but I mean, keep me interested.
Yeah. All the other great games you got at 3, that's 3:30 this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But LSU-Georgia last week, that was even though it was a blow, I didn't flip much because I just couldn't believe what I was watching. You kept waiting for Georgia, to make their little comeback, and never happened.
See, I think that was a different spot, though, because you look at Georgia, hadn't played anybody all season long, and they had lost a lot on their defense off of last year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, that's like Alabama. They haven't played anybody all season long either. and now they have a tough environment for 103,000-plus people. Yep. Rocky Top. Oh, we're going to play Rocky Top Friday.
Oh, yeah.
God, I'm in control of the board. Playing that crap.
Well, you know, Pete will play it on his phone over the microphone, yeah, which sounds really awesome.
Turn that off, too.
401, to be clear, the guy who microwaves his hot dogs and eats Skittles and then mixes them with M&Ms is making fun of what someone else eats.
Yeah.
Thank you, 401. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, coming up, I promise I'll get to the Mike Krzyzewski comment that may leave you speechless. We've got the obscure sports minute. We've got the Amazon $50 gift card
off
giveaway.
His rocker.
And also coming up, Adam Schefter will join us. We'll talk all things NFL. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida. And Pete's going to eat his feminine power bar, too, during the break.
It's just a regular power bar. It's not masculine or feminine. It is it's transgender.
All right. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3.
It's a soft chiffon.
ESPN.
Increases milk flow.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
Nice slate of NHL action tonight. NBCSN at 8 o'clock will have Arizona at Minnesota. Both Florida teams in action. The Lightning are hosting the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Florida Panthers on the road. They are in Philly to face the Flyers. Vegas Golden Knights, they're at home playing the Buffalo Sabres. Saw a stat over the weekend. Vegas has not scored more than 2 goals in any one game this season.
What's the problem?
Amazing. Also got a bunch of international soccer going on right now. Brazil's playing Argentina. I don't have any of the scores up. I'll get them for you guys in a second. But later tonight, the U.S. men's national team faces off against Peru. That is at 7:30 on ESPN2. At 9:45, we've got, who's Mexico playing? Chile. Now I'll get you those scores that I promised you as soon as my thing. Germany up 1-0 on France. Liechtenstein beating Gibraltar 1-0. Georgia beat Latvia 2-0. Wales and Ireland are tied at zeros. What else happened? Oh, this is a big big result for Kazakhstan. They beat Andorra 4-0.
Borat. That's his team.
Fact. Very nice.
Very good. All right, coming up, Adam Schefter at the top of the hour. And, a couple of coaching items, both college basketball and college football, I wanted to share with you. Remember last week, Chris was gone, but Pete, remember we were having a good laugh at Roy Williams.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was befuddled.
Don't you laugh at that, man.
He said he was befuddled.
He was befuddled with everything, the devious underworld of the college basketball. Because this thing's in the court cases now with befuddled. This.
Real quick.
Yeah. No, dumbfounded.
He's got Nasir Little on his team, one of the guys named in the FBI probe. Yeah. But neither here nor there. He's befuddled.
So,
okay.
No, dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded.
Yeah.
So this whole thing's going to federal court right now. So it's in the news. He was dumbfounded last week. And then Mike Krzyzewski, not to be outdone, says, I think college basketball is actually pretty clean. He says it's minute. This is just a blip what's going on. I'm not familiar with this. All this stuff's going on because it doesn't involve us. Wow. I mean, seriously. He
no
thinks college basketball is clean. Does anybody think college basketball is clean? Nobody thinks it's clean.
College sports in general is not clean.
No.
Anybody who tells you so is delusional.
Yeah. And another coaching.
What do you want him to say?
It's dirty. It needs to be cleaned up.
Said
something to that fact in the past.
Don't say it's clean. Don't say anything.
Yeah. Say, look, yeah, we need to clean some things up.
Say, I just
not
worry
me,
about my
but everybody else. That's what he needs to say.
Coach K said this?
What?
Was Coach K or was this Roy saying all this?
Coach K was saying that he thinks it's all clean.
Oh, okay.
Now, I have heard Coach K in the past say, yeah, we got to do something. We got to fix this. But that was years ago.
Well, again, I mean, I'm sure Alabama's doing it clean on the college football side.
Sure.
And I'm sure Duke is doing it clean on the college basketball side. I'm sure Kentucky's really super clean right now. Same for North Carolina, Kansas, Villanova.
Well, I do have a theory about that because, okay, for example, you could say Nick Saban's just dominating. He must be cheating. Or you could say, you know what? He has his pick of players and does not need to cheat. I mean, you could look at that in both ways. I mean, if you're a five-star and you want to get to the NFL, where are you going to play? Where are you going to be begging to take you in? You can go to Alabama, probably. It's going to be on your short
list. Yeah, because you can't get to the NFL through any other program. Programs that'll throw you, what, $100,000? I mean, DeAndre Ayton was worth $100,000. What is a five-star quarterback coming out of high school worth? I want to know the answer to that question. What is Trevor Lawrence worth to Clemson?
And let me tell you,
it's got to be $500,000.
And it's a good point, and that's another reason why you're going to see, I think, over the next 5 years at some point, these kids are going to get paid. That's the only way they're going to stay in school and play
the Olympic model.
Games. They're going to play. They're going to be paid and play in these games. Otherwise, there's going to be nobody left in bowl games except for the Final Four.
I have one other note before we break. I'll save that for later because I know we have Adam coming up. So Adam Schefter will be joining us. I'm getting an update on DJ Durkin and his status with Maryland when we talk college athletics later on in the program. And stay with us. Sheba DeShepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.